We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
I'd like to play the train.
You are living the good life. My name is Chris Fluitt. I'm the lead pastor of Redemption Church. I'm glad to be talking to you today. What does living the good life mean? Many people, when asked what living the good life is, they think of living a completely different life. If I could just add something to my life, if I could just change something about my life, then I'd be living the good life. That really is a sad way to be thinking about life. Wouldn't it be great if living the good life, you didn't have to change anything? Wouldn't that be the way we want to live? This constantly needing to chase something or find something or add something makes living the good life seem elusive. And we talked about that last week. The good life is the life the good shepherd gives his sheep. John 10:10-11, this has been our memory verse for this month. Let's read it together. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now, last week we talked about joy and happiness, that the good life, living the good life, is a life filled with joy and happiness. This week, we want you to know that the good life is a blessed life. Your life after Christ is supposed to be better than your life before Christ. I find Christians all the time that don't really know that, or something about the Christian life, they don't quite get this simple point. This is a really simple point, but it is an important point. After finding Jesus, your life should be way better than before you find Jesus. So is your life better? Do you remember what it was like before Christ? Do you remember the change? I'm convinced that the world needs to meet some Christians who are living a life to the full. The life that Jesus talked about in John 10:10-11, the kind of life that they find, that they see that Christian and they say, I want to live a life like that. I want to have the joy that they have. I want to have the peace that they have. I like the life they're living. The world needs to see some Christians that are living the good life. That's really what they need to see. They don't need to hear more arguments. They don't need to hear you quote a lot of scripture at them. They don't need to tell you how bad you are or what you're doing wrong. They need to see your life being alive to the full. Because here's the deal. Everyone wants to live that kind of life. It's just that not everyone understands that that life is found in Jesus Christ. There is a lot of misunderstanding about this life. In fact, there's a lot of misunderstanding about blessing. I want to talk to you about sneezing for a moment. I'm sure when you logged on right now, you wanted to hear about sneezing. Well, here you go. This is exactly what you wanted. We often, when we hear someone sneeze, we hear this phrase come up, God bless you, or simply bless you. Why? Why does that happen? Well, we aren't completely 100% sure how that got started. There are mainly two ways people think that this got started. Some people think that it was at the order of the Catholic Pope, Gregory I. The bubonic plague was nearing Rome, and the phrase was meant to encourage the people to pray continually. I can dig that. That's good. And also, a sneeze was a warning sign of the sickness. If you started sneezing, death might be really near, and you better start praying and have other people pray. That I can understand, but that's not the only claim. Some people also claim that people used to believe that a person's soul could be thrown out of their body when they sneezed. Sneezing would otherwise open the body to the invasion of the devil or evil. So basically you sneezed and, oh, there went your soul. And now the enemy, Satan, is invading your soul, where your soul used to be, because you sneezed. Some other people thought that sneezing was the body's effort to force out invading presence of the enemy. So if you sneeze, it's like, oh my goodness, you're under demonic attack. Weird stuff. Where do they get this? But anyway, in these cases, when people would say bless you or God bless you, it was used as a shield to protect them against evil. Someone would sneeze and you'd say, oh, God bless you. And hopefully that would put a shield about them to keep them from the invading devil. So either of these reasons in the end led everyone to believe that if you got sick and died, you must not have been blessed. You probably had some kind of secret sin in your life no one knew about, but God knew about it, and that's why you're dead. We clearly said bless you, but that shield didn't take because of what was going on inside your life. That's what these two belief systems ended up bringing people to thinking. We see this same kind of thought today with snake handling Christian snake handlers. I'm proud to tell you that Redemption Church does not believe in handling snakes. All right, trust us, we don't understand that belief system. We worship God, but not with snakes, all right? Snake handling came about from people that took one scripture out of the Bible and they took it completely out of context and built a doctrine around it. And the doctrine basically tells them that if you are able to pick up a poisonous snake and not get bitten and certainly not die, then it meant you're blessed by God. Congratulations, you picked up that rattlesnake and you did not die. In fact, more than just blessed, you were viewed as holy and acceptable in the sight of the Lord. Of course, if you got bit and you did die, it meant you weren't blessed, but rather you were an impure sinner. And recently, a very noted snake handling pastor was bitten. He was on reality shows and he was bitten and sadly he died. But then everyone was left thinking, wow, it was his time to go. And his heart wasn't right when he handled that last rattlesnake. It's a strange belief system, but it's very much like saying bless you when someone sneezes. They're related. Let me tell you, blessing isn't supposed to be a superstitious act. It's not supposed to be a superstition. It's not about good luck, or you might say holy luck. It's not about that. It's not about ritualistic behavior or repetitive prayers that bring God's favor to you. Blessing is not about that at all. In fact, blessing is never meant to be used as a sign of your worthiness. Sadly, in Christianity, oftentimes it has. That would quickly become a mess. And it always becomes a mess because what we end up doing is we compare our blessing to other people's blessing. And if our blessing means that we're more worthy, then we're more blessed than those people. So we're more worthy than those people. God loves us more than those people over there. We're probably more holy and God just sees us and is more pleased with us than them. And that is not necessarily the case. And let me tell you, as Christians, we're not supposed to be looking at anyone that way, whether they're a Christian or non-Christian. We're not supposed to be judgmental, Bible-thumping people. That's not supposed to be us. That's not the good life that the good shepherd is trying to give us. As a Christian growing up, I ran into two main schools of thought on blessing. Here they are. Here's the first one. Acquiring riches, material goods, and fame are proof that God loves you and that you are pleasing God. I'd like to underline for you that is wrong. That is absolutely wrong. No, the proof that God loves you is Jesus. You don't need any other proof than that. Proof that God loves you. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Jesus is all the proof you need that you are loved. If you're watching or listening to this right now, you are loved, not because this preacher says so, but because Jesus Christ came to this earth and he is going to come back and he loves you. It's all the proof you need that God loves you. That's the first one, that acquiring material gain means you are loved by God. The second one is this, that poverty, constant struggle, is pleasing to God, that his blessings are spiritual only and not material or tangible. They end up saying that it is more spiritual to suffer through life. I'd like to underline for you that this is also wrong. Philippians 4:19, Paul says this, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his riches, his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." God wants to provide your needs according to his riches. Does that sound like he wants to bless you with poverty? Take a moment. Think about God's glorious riches. Think about heaven. The streets are paved with gold. The very beautiful, expensive material that we have in awe on earth, in heaven, they use it as asphalt. That's God's riches, and he wants to use his riches to provide your needs. Does that sound like he wants to bless you with poverty? He wants you to struggle? No, I don't think so. God's blessings aren't spiritual only. They are actually tangible. Ask the 5,000 people that he fed if Jesus feeding them, if he fed them only with spiritual food. No, he fed them tangibly. It was fish and bread that they ate. Ask the blind man that Jesus spit into the earth and made an eyeball and put it in his head and suddenly the man could see. Ask him if these blessings are tangible. He would tell you they are. We aren't dealing with smoke and mirrors here. We aren't dealing with an illusion. Blessing is not an illusion. It is physical. It is tangible. You can hold it in your hands. You can eat his blessings. They're real. It is real and tangible. It is spiritual and physical, the blessings of God. It is not more spiritual to suffer through life. I don't want anybody to suffer through life thinking that that makes God extra more happy with them. That is not true at all. Being poor doesn't make you closer to God. Just like being rich doesn't mean God loves you more. Throughout humanity, there's always been kind of a class warfare. There's been the poor people versus the rich people. And real recently, we have the 1% versus the 99% here in America. There's this kind of class warfare, and we don't need to see that get in the church. We don't need to see even think for a moment that poor people are somehow better than rich people, or rich people are somehow better than poor people. We would be getting our worth from our bank accounts and not from the glorious riches of Christ Jesus. That's where it's at, folks. That's where we need to be focused on. It is God's will to bless, no matter who you are, no matter where you're coming from, no matter what's in your bank account right now. It's God's will to bless. It's not like you have to talk God into doing something he doesn't want to do. I felt that way in prayer before. God, please bless me. I know you don't want to, but please, God, bless me. I know I'm a no good sinner, but God, please bless me. It was real news to me when I found out that God actually wants to bless me. I don't have to beg him to do it. It's something he wants to do. God will bless you in ways you don't even ask him to bless you. Take, for example, the children of Israel. They asked to be set free from slavery, and God hears them. But not only did God do that, not only did God set them free, but he sent them with all the riches of Egypt and made them a mighty nation. They didn't ask for that. You see, God will bless you in ways you don't even ask. He knows how to bless you, and he wants to bless you. We're talking about the good life that comes from the good shepherd. The good life is a life filled with blessing. Blind people get their sight. The lost are found. The slave is set free and given more than they could ever dream of. That sounds like the good life, right? I hope you want that kind of life. I want that kind of life. I want you to know that God wants to bless you, and he is planning on blessing you. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. I love this verse. But did you actually know God was speaking to a disobedient Israel right here? The people he made this wonderful promise to didn't have their act together. They weren't necessarily holy. They were God's holy people, but they weren't living a holy life towards him. They started worshiping idols, and they ended up having to go in exile to Babylon. These were not obedient people. But did you, one more time, look at the plans he has for them. Plans to prosper them. Plans to give them hope and a future. You might be thinking that God can't bless you because of your past, or God can't bless you because of that secret sin that no one knows about. I want you to know that even with your shortcomings, even with your disobedient ways, God is still planning to give you prospered, better future and hope. That's what he's trying to do. Isn't that a wonderful God? Isn't that a wonderful Savior we have? Do you understand God's plans for you? They aren't to harm you. I could preach a sermon on that. Come on, there's Christians that are preaching God's plan is to harm people. If God's plan is to hurt the homosexuals, or God's plan is to hurt those that are getting abortions, that God's plan, he's going to crush the no good sinner. And they say that like they aren't no good sinners themselves. Pause for effect. Do you understand that God has plans for you? And even if you're disobedient, God still is working out his plans for you. Why does he do this? He loves you. Knock, knock, knock. Do you get it? He loves you. We're talking about really good plans, plans to prosper you and give you that future. Even when you're doing wrong, God has great plans for you. I tell you, I'm so glad about it. How are we blessed? I want to talk about this for a moment. How are we blessed? We are blessed through relationship, inheritance, and obedience. Now, relationship and inheritance are closely linked, but I want to hit all these three things, hopefully very quickly. Relationship, inheritance, obedience. If you want to understand blessing, there's one person in the Bible you really need to look at, and he is Abraham. God approaches Abraham through relationship in the book of Genesis, chapter 12. 12, verse 1. The Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. Verse 2. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Verse 3. I will bless those who curse. I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. The blessing isn't just about Abraham. It's also about his children and inheritance. So we had relationship. Here's inheritance. Those coming after Abraham would be blessed. Now, you might be not a Jewish person. I'm not Jewish. I'm not of Jewish heritage. So what does this really matter to us? We aren't descendants of Abraham. We aren't of the Jewish bloodline. So how does that really help us? Well, I want to tell you that if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you are following God through faith, you are a descendant of Abraham. The New Testament clearly shows us this in Romans chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, the promise of what? That very promise that God made to Abraham. The promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring. not only those who are of the law, that would be of Jewish descent, but also to those who are of faith of Abraham, of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. And Galatians chapter 3, 14 says it this way, he, being Christ, redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. Do you remember in Sunday school, if you ever went to Sunday school, there was a little song we sang, Father Abraham has many sons has Father Abraham, I'm one of them, so are you, so let's just praise the Lord, right arm, and then the kids would go crazy and go insane. Why did we sing that? Well, we sang that for this very reason. We wanted to teach the little kids that they were descendants of Abraham through faith. And by the way, the culmination of this experience is receiving the Holy Spirit. I love that, how Galatians 3:14 says it. Through our relationship with God, we enter into the same blessing of Abraham. It is passed on to us as an inheritance. But not just the children of Abraham would be blessed. It says that those who bless Abraham would be blessed. I want to tell you that the people that bless you are going to be blessed. It is good to bless you. It is good to be good to you because you're a follower of Jesus Christ. That promise of blessing comes to you, and to the people that bless you, they will receive blessing. When you are living the good life, the people that bless you get blessed by God. That is such an amazing promise. No one is excluded from God's blessing here. Anyone can be blessed. Anyone can enter into relationship. Anyone can come into this inheritance, regardless of their bloodline, regardless of their past, regardless of anything like that. You can be blessed by God, the same blessing that flowed through Abraham. Psalm 33:12 says this, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. I want to tell you that the gates to God's nation are not closed. His kingdom is closed to no one. Peter tells us this, 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are God's holy nation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Is God your Lord? It's not just talking about the nations of this world. It's talking about the holy nation that is you. You're part of that holy nation. You're blessed. You belong to Jesus. He's called you out of darkness into marvelous, wonderful light. And then through obedience, we've talked about relationship, inheritance. Now through obedience, we walk in the blessing of God. Every step we take in obedience is a blessed step. Abraham obeyed and he walked in blessing. Check out Deuteronomy 28:1. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. Verse 2. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. Verse 3, you will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. Verse 4, the fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land and your young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. It goes on and on. It says every area of your life will be blessed. Going into the city, you're going to be blessed. Leaving the city, you're going to be blessed. When you go home to your house, you're going to be blessed. When you go to work in the morning, you're going to be blessed. Wherever you go, if you obey through obedience, you will find the blessing of God. You can't go wrong obeying God. Now, you may be listening to me, and you might be thinking that you aren't blessed. Maybe you think I'm talking to someone else, not you, because you clearly don't have the blessing of God in your life. You might look at your life and see only problems and struggles. You might not see the blessings that are already present. We often don't recognize what is right in front of us. The sun, it provides warmth and light. But do you realize that it is a blessing for all of mankind? Whether you believe in God or not, He created the sun for everyone. It's a blessing to all. The place you live, sometimes we take it for granted. Sometimes we look at our homes and we're not happy with them. I'm looking around my house right now. It's a mess. I cleaned up behind me so you don't see all the mess around here. I have two kids and they go crazy. But maybe you look at your house and you don't recognize the blessing that is your home. Maybe your friends and family. We so often take the blessing for granted. We are blessed in so many ways that we don't even recognize. So do you recognize the blessing of God? I mean, really look around your life. Blessings are more than what increases us. It's more than what increases your bank account, but also it's what enlarges your spirit and your attitude. Not just what increases you, but it enlarges your spirit and attitude. Jesus explains this in his Sermon on the Mount, also known as the Beatitudes, which is a word for blessing. It's found in Matthew chapter 5, 3 through 10. I'm going to read it. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The blessing Jesus described is different from how we often perceive blessing. I'm sure you'd agree. It seems radically, revolutionarily, upside down from how we usually think about blessing. In God's kingdom, you are blessed even when the world treats you poorly. Now, you might be looking at your world and saying, this world doesn't like me. I'm not blessed. But Jesus would tell you in this Sermon on the Mount that even if the world doesn't treat you right, even if you're persecuted, even if you're poor in spirit, you are blessed. In fact, you have a greater blessing than this world can contain. You have a better blessing than your eyes can perceive. You have the promise of heaven. You are a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, and you can't even get that. You can't even fathom that in this life. God's kingdom is not like this world. In this world, people cheat, they lie, and they steal to get ahead. Doesn't it always seem that that happens? But we're talking about a kingdom where people are blessed from the inside out. In the world, it always seems like they're blessed from the outside in, as in they took your money and they took it into themselves. They took your happiness and just laughed about it, and they just grabbed it towards themselves. But in God's kingdom, people are blessed from the inside out. He cleans your heart up, and then it comes out and it blesses other people. He puts a joy inside your heart, and then it comes out and it blesses other people. He puts a heart in you of gratitude and generosity, and sure enough, it comes out and it blesses other people. He cleans up your morals, and now you aren't lying to people. Now you aren't stealing from people. Now you aren't like the world is. That's the kingdom flowing from the inside out. We're talking about meekness. We're talking about hunger and thirst. What is that? That's an appetite for the right things. Having a heart of mercy and purity. Being a peacemaker. So do you recognize the blessings of God? First of all, do you recognize the kingdom? And then do you recognize the blessings that flow out of that kingdom? One of the more important questions is this: why are we blessed? There is often a disconnect between why we want to be blessed and why God has blessed us. We want to be blessed to see an increase, to have better, to be stronger, to have more. There is nothing wrong with this. It's natural to want this. There is a drive for better in all of us. We talked about that last week. God commanded Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply. And what better way to be fruitful and multiply than through God's blessing? But remember, the promise of blessing to Abraham went beyond simply blessing Abraham. Abraham was blessed and would be a blessing to others. The blessing that we're talking about is a lot more than you simply being blessed, but others being blessed as well. If Abraham would have received the blessing but never blessed others, he would have never fulfilled the promise. The same is true for us, his descendants. God has a bigger plan than to just bring increase into your life. He wants you to increase the lives of others also. You shouldn't think of your life as a bank account where blessings are deposited and hoarded. But you should see your life as a conduit. You should see your life as a river where blessings flow into your life and they flow through your life and into the lives of others. If it seems like blessing isn't flowing into your life, instead of angrily shaking your fist at God or thinking that you must have failed God because of that secret sin in your life no one knows about that always seems to get the better of you, instead of all that, why don't you look to see if you're letting blessing flow out of your life? Because it's supposed to flow into your life and out through your life. Blessing is meant to flow to others from you. Blessings don't stop, they flow. A hoarder's mentality will keep blessing from flowing into and through your life. It's like damming up a river. You need to allow it to flow through. Blessings don't always belong to us. Now you hold on. You listen to this sentence. Blessings don't always belong to us, but are entrusted to us to pass on to others. I have a very simple object lesson to back up this point. Blessings not always belong to us. I have right in front of you a pitcher. This pitcher is filled with water, and it represents the blessings of God that are poured out into us. We are the glass. This empty glass right here represents your life. And when we meet God, God pours into our life blessings. And it's really good. When we first came to Jesus and we found out he would forgive our sins, he poured blessing into our life and he forgave us of our sins. And we came to know him in a great way and we got a relationship with God and we found joy and we found peace and it was great and it was exciting. But as we kept knowing him and he just kept pouring, we were filled with his spirit. And then sooner or later, it just starts to overflow from our life. And that's how God works. He keeps pouring until your life cannot contain all that there is to his blessing. God has been pouring into your life. But then we look at what is being overflowed from our life and we sometimes think, wow, that's a real waste. We've been blessed with more money. We've been blessed with more energy. We've been blessed with more influence with people. And so we decide, you know, that a lot of that is getting poured out and not going back to us. So let's do something here. Let's get a bigger glass. We supersize our lives and suddenly we go, you know what? Let's go buy a bigger house. Let's go buy a new car. And so now that was our old life and here's our new life and now it's supersized and we're like, all right, now I'll be able to get more of the blessing and the blessing of God has caught me and made me bigger. So we decide we need a bigger glass. We have all this extra blessing. So let's get a bigger glass to contain it. Because why do we have these blessings except to have bigger and better stuff? But do we ever stop to think that God wants to use the overflow? He wants the overflow to be passed on to others instead of being stored in a bigger place. glass. Blessings don't always belong to us, but are entrusted to us to pass on. This, with the glasses, is like the parable Jesus told us in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, 15 through 21. I'm going to read it to you. Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. "The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops.' Then he said, 'This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then you will get what you have prepared for yourself. This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God." I want you to notice that the guy says, I don't have anything to store it in, but then he tears down his barns. He did have something to store it in. He looked at his little small glass with contempt, and he saw a bigger harvest, and he said, "I am going to build a bigger barn so I can save it all myself, so I can hoard it all myself." He doesn't take the moment to think maybe the overflow should go to hungry people. Maybe the overflow doesn't belong to me, but it's a blessing I'm meant to pass on. This man was blessed, but he didn't understand Luke 12:15, where Jesus says, "Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." That's not what the good life is all about. In the end, he was dead, and all he had left, all he had to show for his life, was a bigger, empty barn. He didn't even leave an inheritance to his kids, except a bigger, empty barn. Now listen, we are looking for bigger and better things in our life that really don't matter that much. We want that larger screen TV. Who cares that we already have a 50-inch? They make 70 inches now, and we need that. But guess what? If you hand that out to your kids, it might just be a bigger, emptier barn. Besides, you know, when you are gone from this earth and you give that to your kids, they aren't going to want that. They make 100 inches then. They make 3D plasma weird things then, and they're not going to want what you have. And so you spend all this time and all this energy wanting something that was a bigger, emptier barn. That's not the good life. The good life is a barn that's overflowing, and you use the overflow to bless your kingdom, because you realize that all blessings don't belong to you. They've been entrusted to you to be a good steward of those things and to serve the kingdom with the blessings that flow through your life. Are you doing that? Are you blessed? Have you not been recognizing the blessings of God? While I've been talking, have you been convicted of that? Maybe you need to recognize the blessings of God and be thankful and rejoice over the blessings of God, because I guarantee you they are there. We are looking past them. Are you a source of blessing? Now, it's okay to have nice things. Do not think I'm telling you it's not okay to have nice things. That's not the point of this. But are you trying to live a good life based on the abundance of your possessions? Do you understand that blessing should flow through you? It's God's will to bless. It's not like you have to talk him into doing something he doesn't want to do. God wants to bless you. Jesus, let me finish with this last thought. Jesus is the best blessing you could ever receive. The Bible tells us very clearly that he became a curse for us so that we could receive the blessing. It says it so clearly that he was cursed for us, that he died for us so that we could live, that he took on our sin so we could be holy and justified and sanctified and glorified. That's what he's done. Do you realize that that is the best blessing? Do you realize to seek any other thing would be seeking a bigger, emptier barn? Do you realize that that's the inheritance you need to pass on to your kids? Do you realize that there is no greater blessing? It doesn't, there's not a better car out there than the blessing that comes from knowing Jesus. There is no better blessing than being able to pray to Him, feel His presence, to know that He is real. It is the best blessing, and it is a blessing that you can share. It's the only blessing that you can share and never have less of it. It's a wonderful promise. So, are you blessed? Are you a blessing to others? And do you realize that the greatest blessing is the blessing that we have in Jesus? I'm going to pray for us. God, Father, we love You and we are so glad that You love us. Lord, we know, Lord, that our life is not found in the abundance of possessions, but our life, our good life comes from the good shepherd. God, I pray for all my brothers and sisters right now. Anyone that's listening to the sound of my voice right now, I'm praying for them that You'd be right there with them, God. Lord, that they wouldn't be seeking silly things that are just silly, empty, bigger barns. But God, Lord, they would be finding the truth. They would be finding the real blessing that is found in You, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. You be blessed. You have a good week. God bless.
Thank you. Bye. For joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.